that man is in here tonight. How about you? I believe he's been here. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst. We came tonight, amen, looking for the move of God. He's been here every night. I told Sister Gabbard as we went back to the room last night, I said, there's been some tonight that had that divine encounter we was talking about. Amen. Appreciate what God's doing and what he's going to do in this lifestyle that we're living in. Amen. One of the classic writers wrote, opened one of the stories of, amen, I might have been the house of Salem Gable, but he said, he opened me up by saying, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. The worst, the world's never seen a time like we're living in. It's the worst of times for the world. And all that's happened in all the time from till now, never has the whole world been like it is right now. But it's the best of times for a church to be on fire for God. Amen. A church to catch the vision and realize we are the only thing standing between the wrath of God. Amen. And a wicked, ungodly world. Amen. So we're praying that God will save some more in the hour that we're living in. Amen. Thank you for the offering tonight, for the privilege of being back with all of you all. Early this morning, I studied on a message and off and on all day, and along about 4 o'clock this evening, something that the senior Snow, Papa Snow, said last night, talking about Jesus, just kept burning in my soul, and so I felt the change in the message, and I'm mindful of the time. I'll not preach long tonight, but I want you to turn with me to the book of the Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs, Solomon's Song, and we're going to look begin with chapter number 5 and start reading with verse number 8. The Song of Solomon. Chapter 5 and verse number 8. I wish I had my old friend here with me tonight. Me and Brother L.D. Moore preached a number of camp meetings through the years together and was together. I wish I'd like to have him here tonight. I'd have him at hand in the microphone. Let him say, saying to you, they ain't never been a man like Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5, verse number 8. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him, I am sick of love, or love sick. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy. He's the chiefest of 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as the raven. His eyes are eyes of doves by the rivers of water washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as the bed of spices and sweet flowers. His lips lilies dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set in beryl. His belly as the bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are like the pillars of marble set up on sockets of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is as sweet, most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whether is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? Verse number 9 is my text tonight. What is thy beloved more than another? And I want to talk to us tonight. There ain't nobody like him. Father, we love you for what you're doing. We love you for what you've done in the meeting already. For your grace and mercy has been extended to us. We're glad tonight that there is a man in here, that the sweet Holy Ghost is here. And so we invite that you would drop down like a canopy of glory around us for a little while. Lord, at the conclusion of our broken remarks tonight, that you would meet us again on the altars and pour out the blessings of the Lord upon the children of God. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, and the congregation says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. The Song of Solomon, sometimes difficult, both in translation and interpretation, is nonetheless a true picture, first of all, of what love ought to be, what love should be. And it prefigures the love between Christ and His bride, the church. Amen. You know, the experience of personal salvation is in reality and ought to always be a thrilling romance. Amen. The uniting of Christ with the soul of a man creates a courtship that ought to extend throughout all the life of the believer. Christ becomes nearer and dearer as the days go by. The courtship should never grow stale or old, but it should be sweeter and nearer as we get home. Hallelujah. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between the Lord and I. You know, Jesus said, the true test of love is, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and my commandments are not grievous. Amen. This is my sweet wife has said, I love holiness. She loves living this way. Living this way is not a burden. Living this way is not a battle. It's not a trial. Amen. It's a sweet exchange. Amen. Of the glory of God. And I've been married over 40 years. One of the perks of not pastoring now, when she can go with me, is just riding down the road, going across the long miles, not saying anything, but just reach over and get her by the hand and know that we're there together. We have for several years went to the Starbucks there in London till they've all known us. And last Valentine's Day a year ago, we went in. Some of the girls now, Anne has adopted those kids. Most of them are college kids or kids that are displaced or what have you. And they all know us by name. They've named her drink, Miss Anne. Don't fall out with us if you're any coffee drinker. She just comes to the door and they say, fix Miss Ann her drink. And of course, she has cooked for them like she did for the pastor. She really has. But we were sitting there and two of the girls finally got the nerve up and they walked over and they said, Miss Ann, said, can we ask you all a question? She said, well, sure, go ahead. She said, you know, with this day, they've all the broken up relationships and messed up things and trading like they trade overcoats and all that, you know. She said, we've noticed something about you all. Said, how long? And she told them, she said, what is the secret? And said, first of all, we made a commitment. But said, secondly, said, we're best friends. Amen. Hallelujah. Our text tells us tonight of a young woman who is desperately in love. Oh, this love is bold and daring. This love is the love of her life, and her love of her life has withdrawn himself, and his presence is not there, and she's lonely and longing for his presence. Do you wake up in the morning longing for the presence of God? Amen. Do you think about any moment now? Amen. He may split the skies and come back and get us. Does it thrill you? Amen. To fall in love with him again? Can you shout with the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Oh, church, more than anything right now, the world needs to see something that's real and genuine. That love of God that passes all understanding. Amen. That keeping power of the Lord. Hallelujah. Stand by me, Lord, tonight. She is longing for his presence, and she's seeking diligently for him. I'm reminded this, her song might be the song of the psalmist in Psalm 42 when he says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. As that deer that is being driven by the hounds, running till his tongue's hanging out and he's dying, Lilia, on his feet when he comes to the water brooks and plunges into the water and satisfies his thirst. The psalmist said, I'd like to be like that. I'd like to find the river of God and just fall into it again. Amen. I'd like to just, oh, have you ever got thirsty? You know, one of the sad things, the hour we're living in, is people are seeking God's stuff, God's things, and God's gift. But he said, I'm not looking for the things. Amen. My soul is thirsting for God, for the living God. When shall I appear before God? Oh, God, if we're going to have revival, God's going to have some way or other kindle in us again a desire for the presence of God. Amen. To live and move and have our being in the presence of the living God. My father-in-law, when Ann and I started talking and getting serious, my father-in-law told me, said, Brother John, said, Ann has always been a holiness girl. He said she would, some of the other kids never took to it, but she, all from a little girl, she fell in love with holiness, fell in love with the God of holiness. And she'll say, I love the Lord. And she says it in a way you know she does. But he said, I've seen her, said, we'll get in church. And said, she's a little girl, said she'd get lost in the Holy Ghost. Said she'd lay on the floor and speak in tongues throughout the service. Said Margaret, her mama would pick her up and carry her and put her in the car. And she'd shout, speak in tongues all the way home. Put her in the bed tonight and never realize that she'd got home. Oh, church, that's what we need. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Amen. I'm talking about a relationship. Amen. That condescends anything that you can imagine. That transcends anything you can think about. A move of God. Amen. She is not satisfied. She is seeking diligently for Him alone. Nothing else satisfies her. She is not content to banquet at the table of her friends. Her story is, I left them to seek Him. And could I tell you tonight, amen, it is ever the same. It is them or Him, and those who prefer them more than Him are not worthy of Him. Amen. They will thus prevent it. They'll tell us, you know, you've already found Him. Why are you seeking Him? Amen. And you'll say, I understand, but you'll turn away to seek Him again. Amen. To live in His presence. Would to God we'd go, great God of heaven. Would to God we'd come to the place again. That prayer would not be, amen, a drudgery. Prayer would not be a duty, but prayer would be a delight. Amen, to walk into His presence. Amen. Have you ever prayed? I don't mean said a prayer, but have you ever fallen on your altar? I know sometimes it's dryer and shucks. I know sometimes it takes discipline, amen, to drive out the world and shut the door and seek God till He comes by. Amen. Sometimes 5 minutes seems like an hour. But oh, for those times when you fall on your knees and it feels like the floor dissolves under you and you're soaring away in the Spirit, and when you come back to yourself, you realize you think it's been 15 minutes and it's already been an hour. And you're praising Him.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I remember I got saved on September the 3rd, 1970. I told somebody once, not for all the money in the world would I have you walk behind the blood where I came from. But go ahead and find where I started. Track me all the way. Oh, you'll find where I stumbled, fell flat on my face, backed up and started again. But you'll always find back there. September the 4th, 1970, not knowing anything about it at all, going to a little church and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Somebody said, it's hard to live holiness in this world. Listen, I lived in a house where from Friday afternoon until Sunday afternoon, the cards table never broke up. The card game never broke up. The bottles never quit flowing. I honestly looked from September the 3rd going back to December of that year. I don't remember a day that I didn't drink. And I was an alcoholic. But on September the 3rd, I bowed down beside a little old platform rocker on 263 Russell Avenue. Amen. And I found a brand new experience. Amen. I spread like wildfire through southern Ohio. John Cabot just got saved. I don't know how they heard it in Miamisburg. I got in the old Jeep the next morning and started to work with my boss. And always we'd go down by the beer joint on the way to work. That morning I wasn't interested. He looked at me and said, "Well, I heard that you got saved." I said, "Brother, you heard it right." He said, "Well, I guess you quit drinking." I said, "No, sir. I just changed fountains." Amen. Amen. I ain't quit dancing either. I just changed partners. Amen. That morning I walked out. The birds was a singing. Oh, they'd sing before, but I'd never heard them. Amen. The squirrels were a jumping, but I hadn't noticed. The sun was a shining that morning, but it shined before. I'm talking about. Amen. She said, "I want His presence more than anything in the world." I'm preaching on there ain't nobody like Him. Amen. Amen. Memorial Day weekend, I preached my first message. By November, I was laid off of my job and I never held another public job. I just preached where I could. I was in Kentucky. I'd preached a revival. You know, I went right back where I'd come from. They had heard about it. They came to see, and some of them got saved. I'd held a revival. I was bone weary. I had to be in Ohio the next day. So I pulled out after church that night, had that baby blue 64 Chevrolet. 327. Wish I had it now. Rolled it out on the road at London, running up to 70 miles an hour, headed toward Ohio on I-75. I was tired. And I said, "Lord, did I do all right? Would I do all right? Would you help me?" Sweet Lamb of God, somebody got in the car with me. 70 miles an hour, somebody got in the car with me. All of a sudden, I tell you tonight as I stand before you, the next thing I know for sure was I was going down Covenant Hill heading to cross the bridge. My hands was up in the air. I was speaking in tongues and magnifying God. Does that sound strange? The Holy Ghost is a better driver than I am. Amen. I'm talking about getting lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. Amen. She said, "I'm seeking Him." Her friends ask her, "What is thy beloved more than some other? Why has he received every ounce of your devotion? Has he received yours? Amen. Does he know that you love him beyond anything in the world? Amen. I pray, Lord, I want to love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to love you, Lord, not your things, not your gifts, not your blessings, but I want to love you, Lord." Hallelujah. Her answer to their question was the title of our text. There ain't nobody. That ain't good English, is it? There's nobody like Him. There's nobody like Him tonight in His pre-existence. He was before time and before place. His life did not begin in a manger. It didn't end on a cross. He always has been and He always will be. He dwelt in the bosom of the Father before the foundation of the world. And He declared in the world, amen, before Abraham was, "I am." Moses, you tell them, "I am that I am has sent you." Amen. He is the only true God. You remember when Paul walked up on Mars Hill in Athens? It was where Socrates was forced to drink the poison because he had questioned the fact of their gods. And here comes Paul, and his heart's burning within him. And he knows that the possibility to introduce this new religion could be death. But he walked by all those altars to all those idol gods. They're trying to cover all the bases, and one of them set an altar to an unknown God. And Paul started, I want to tell you about the unknown God. I want to tell you about a God, amen, that pre-existed. He's the only true God. Amen. He is God, and besides Him, there is no God. Amen. He is God. Amen. Oh, I wish I had Brother Moore here to say, they put Him in a tomb, but the tomb couldn't hold Him. Never been a man like Jesus. Never been a man like Jesus. Never been a man like Jesus. He rolled my burden away. Ain't nobody like Him. Nobody ever like Him in His pre-existence. He always has been. Amen. This old black back book opens up within the beginning. God. God does not try to prove Himself. God does not try to show proof of Himself. He just says, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God sought us. Our little sister told us the other night about her experience of saying, I want the true God. How that the Lord showed her a cross. Amen. And made her convert. Amen. I want you to understand tonight, He's a seeking God. He's a talking God. Amen. He's a God that will talk to your heart if you'll let Him. Hallelujah. I got to hurry. There's nobody like Him. Amen. I heard Him say, I am that I am. I'm not the Son of God, but I am God the Son. Hallelujah. Nobody ever like Him in His birth. Emmanuel. God with us. The incarnation. God wrapped in human flesh. In the flesh was both God and man. Ha. Can your mind comprehend it? No, sir. The finite can never comprehend the infinite. But that makes me know He's God. Amen. But I tell you what I do pray. Lord, I know I can't thank You. Let me think Your thoughts after You think them. Amen. Let me understand after You do. Let me be, Paul said, that I might be apprehended by that which is inapprehendable. Ha. He's no midget God. No, sir. He's no lesser God. He's God. He's God in the Father. He's God in the Son. He's God in the Holy Ghost. He's God all three in one. And I know God is God. And He always will be God. Hallelujah. My God, Brother LD, wherever you are, you be proud of me tonight. Hallelujah. He's no midget God. Paul said in Colossians 2:9, in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He who was the Ancient of Days became an infinite in days. I am the incarnation. God simply reversed the order of creation. In creation, God took a motherless woman out of the body of a man. In the incarnation, He took a fatherless man out of the body of a woman, a virgin birth. Amen. Nobody has ever had a birth like His. There's nobody like Him in His personhood. He is the God-man. Two natures, but one personality. In His divinity, He protects heaven's interest. And in His humanity, He protects man's interest. His divinity is God's way to man. His humanity is God, man's way to God. You remember when Job was going through all he was going through? He said, oh, for a daysman. That was one that could reach up to God and bring Him down. And reach down to me and bring me up and bring us together. I'm reminded of the story back yonder in the hills when that young man got to be a rebel so bad that he hit his own daddy. And he run him off from home. That broke Mama's heart. Years went by. And finally somebody come to him where he was at with the word, your mama is dying. And she's asking to see her boy before she does. Because she is dying and because he loves her, the old man's agreed. And the son comes home. There's not a word spoken between them. There's such admonicity between them. Admonicity there. But on the back side of the bed stands Daddy. On the front side of the bed stands her son. Now tears is running down his eyes as he looked at his old mama. Realized she's there partly because of him. But out from under those covers as she's dying, she takes him old frail hands and reaches over and gets a hold of that boy. And then she reaches over and gets a hold of that dad. And she pulls their hands to her heart. And their hands clasp. And the bray both break. And they are united. That's what Jesus did. Amen. He reached down where I was and picked me up. Amen. And while I was yet a sinner. Amen. While I was yet cursing God. He picked me up. Amen. And reached up and got a hold of the Father. Amen. And broke down the middle walls of partition. And the grace of God put us together. And we were found. And I was born again in His heart. Hallelujah. What is thy beloved more than another? As a man, he went to a wedding in Canaan. But as God, he turned that water into wine. As a man, he wept hot tears at the grave of Lazarus. But as God, he said, roll back the stone. He's been dead 4 days, Lord. He stinks. Roll back the stone. I want you to know tonight the God I'm talking about, if you'll roll back the stone, can take that stinking mess you got. Lazarus, come forth. Him up and say, Master, don't you care? He wakes up and shakes his head. Walks to the bow of that boat that's being lashed by wheel, washing over into the boat. And he looks out over the waves and says, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And the old waves lay down and lapped his hands and feet like a puppy. And there was a great calm. God, amen, has God. Ain't nobody ever been like him in his life. And nobody had a death like his. He was judged by sinful men. And yet he shall judge the quick and the dead at his coming. He cried that I'm thirsty. Yet he held the living waters in his hand. He said, I'm weary. But he said unto me and you, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Amen. I'm just resting in the Lord today. The victory came this morning when I knelt down to pray. Now I'm just resting in the Lord today. 74 days passed, but when God came in, I didn't realize it until a day or two later, but when the Lord healed me, Brother Samuel, I was probably no more than 5 feet in that same living room where God had healed my wife all them years before. Amen. When I looked at her and said, He said, the warfare is accomplished. War is over. Power of God hit me and she went to shouting too. Amen. Amen. He died on a cross. He was buried in a tomb. It was sealed tight with the seal of mighty Rome. That tomb was guarded by a garrison of soldiers. But on that first Easter morning, the old song said, as the sun woke up the earth, the caverns of the deep opened up as to give birth to a resurrected Savior with healing in His wings. Now let us all shout and sing. Amen. Up from the grave He arose. Amen. Never had there been a death like His, but never had there been a resurrection like His. Amen. The first fruit of the resurrection, He came forth from the dead. Amen. And the Bible said that He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Amen. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 17, he said, I am he that was dead, but I live forevermore. Amen. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, he is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Triumphant over all the powers of hell. That old song said the demons were rejoicing. They thought they'd won the war. They thought they'd never be bothered by him anymore. But he walked in. Up until that time, Satan had the keys of death. Amen. He had that play. He had control. But when he walked in there, kicked open the doors, he took the keys of death and hell and the grave. Amen. And paradise is no longer yonder, but an empty place or filled with something else. But the saints of God are in Abraham's bosom. Amen. Being there for all these years. Amen. Paul said to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. Amen. When you lay this old body down, amen, when this old body of clay, amen, the Spirit leaves it, immediately I'm ushered into the presence of the angels. Amen. One of these days, and it won't be long, amen, we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Abraham and Isaac and all that will be there. All the angels will be there. But the church is the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. I'm glad for the friends of the bridegroom, but I want you to understand tonight, he is my lover. Amen. He is my friend. He is my greatest. Amen. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. When she gets through describing her beloved, in verse number 1 of chapter number 6, they say to her, Where is he at? Where is thy beloved gone? O thou fairest among women, whither is he gone and turned aside that we may seek him with you? Could I ask you, have you ever lived in a way? Have you ever bragged on him in a way? Have you ever loved him in a way that people would look at you and say, where's he at? Where'd you find this? I want him too. I want to find him too. We're fixing to close. Well, Chad Deaton got saved not long before I did. He was such a hypochondriac that I want you to know that they could hear about a new disease, and before it ever crossed the Ohio River, he had it. He was tremendously nervous. He was just such a sad countenance, so fearful of everything. And then one night at an old-fashioned altar, he met the Savior, got a born-again experience. In a few days, went through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He worked at Moraine City in Dayton, Ohio, at the Frigid Air Division of General Motors. He was over the mixing of all the new paints. When they put all the new appliances, had a great job. This black fella worked with him, and you couldn't make this up. His name's Whitey. He'd been with Charles, as he called him, all these years, and he's seen such a change in him. And Ann can tell you, Chad Deaton's face shined, didn't it, baby? They accused him of putting something on it. He literally glowed, especially when he got anointed. But he went into that shop, and one day, Whitey says to him, Charles, what on earth has happened to you? And he got to tell him about getting saved, about getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And old Whitey said, Charles, you reckon that'd work for me? and sat right down behind the mixing barrels. They got down and prayed through, and the power of God fell. Brother Chad said, I got to shouting and speaking in tongues. Said the Holy Ghost got on him. He'd never felt nothing like it. He said he literally, his eyes bugged out. Said his countenance changed. He said, I thought, my Lord, if the big wigs come through here, we're both fired. Because we're both shouting and praising God. But the look on his face, the countenance, the way he acted, caused somebody else to want the Lord. Amen. Do you go about, amen, like a face, like a Missouri mule, talking about your troubles all the time? Or you do go forth saying, I look what the Lord has done. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. You go forth telling, hey, I found the answer. I found him. And because he lives, men can still find him. And that's why that at an age when most people my age and my wife's age are content to sit on the porch, listen to the birds sing. We're traveling up and down this country, wearing our bodies, because I want to tell one more person what a friend you can have in Jesus. Oh, yeah. My old dad told me, he said, son, I worry about you. You traveled all over the country by yourself. That was a long while before I married. He said, you travel all hours of the night and you go all by yourself. And I said, Dad, you don't understand it. He hadn't got saved then. I said, but I've never been alone. I was alone all my life. I never trusted anybody. I didn't even trust my own family. I stayed locked away from everything until I found him. And he found me. And I signed up for the duration. And I ride for the brand. Amen. Amen. My only orders comes from headquarters. And I'll go where he sends me. And we cried out and said, Lord, we want to do your will. And so the will of God is the revival you've preached about for 10 years. Take the seeds of it and sow it. I'll let you see the fruitation of it. Hallelujah. Ain't nobody like him. No, if you don't know him, I want to introduce you to him. Amen. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Never ever a day went by from that day to this that I've ever been alone. I woke up at home one morning, we're going to pray. I was at my dad's house. I told you, my brothers and sisters, my family, and I'm not proud of that. They locked their houses when they seen me coming. Didn't want nothing to do with me. But you know what? I had the keys to a lot of them shortly after I got saved. Stop by anytime you want to, son, if I'm going home or not. They didn't understand. My dad couldn't understand. I walked the hills at night. I'd get up and go out to the graveyard and sit on the tombstone and talk to God all night long. I read that book through from cover to cover. It never occurred to me that folks didn't believe in divine healing. Therefore, when I preached, I just laid hands on the sick and expected them to get well. But I woke up one morning at my dad's house. I'd stopped by there, back in my old bedroom. Right directly under my bedroom was the old porch. A couple of my other siblings was there. Visit him, talking to my dad. They was talking about how that all I wanted to do was travel over the country. I heard my dad say, you know, said, I'm afraid he's losing his mind. Said, all he wants to do is pray and seek God and read the Bible. He didn't know I had lost my mind. I'd lost my carnal mind and got a spiritual mind. Boy, it hurt to hear that. I slipped up, slipped out the back door, went out to that ridge where I told you about my pine thicket with the altar there. And I got down to pray. And you might not understand that. But all of a sudden, it was like I felt him put his arms around me. And I heard him say, when mom and dad throws me down, then the Lord will take me up. He's my friend. Remember what God said about Abraham? I know Abraham. He's my own good friend. Would you like to be his friend tonight? Would you like to do what he wants you to do tonight? Ain't nobody like him. If you don't know him, I want to introduce you to him. If you do know Him, I want you to get a closer relationship with Him. Amen. I want you to spend more time with Him. Amen. Amen. For it ain't going to be long. It will never be separated again. Let's stand as they sing the song tonight. I want to open up the altars. I want to invite you to come to the altars tonight. I want to ask you to come, amen, and to seek the face of God. Amen. And just tell Him, Lord, I want to fall in love with You over and over and over again. I want to fall in love with You again. Come on, let's pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.